Thanks for coming back to join me and Alex Pyers. This is a bonus episode to the conversation we had previously, covering topics and five specific questions we didn't address in the last episode. Today, Alex talks about the one thing that keeps him from being a real New York actor, and we also get into the ins and outs of auditioning. I'm your host, Patrick Oliver Jones, and this is The Final Five. All right, here we are at the final five. So, Alex, number one, if you could have any other job outside of the arts, what would that be?
There is nothing. I have actually had, and this is not to like a cop out either, I have had so many career paths to that I've, you know, tested and gone on just to make sure that I whatever. And I'm talking about, you know, medicine. I'm talking about, you know, I was a home mortgage consultant for a minute. I've been in retail and food service and hospitality and, you know, real estate and all these other things, and nothing fits the bill. And I don't even think I could be like, well, I'll just be a producer or I'll direct or something like that instead. It's like acting or nothing, man. there's no backup plan. And Will Smith said it best, don't have a plan B because it distracts from plan A.
Was there a path that you went down the farthest before you had to come back and be like, no, acting is it?
Maybe food service. I mean, I guess I could have, or no, maybe like product demonstration, which was close because I worked for two different companies where I was traveling all over New England and pitching these different household products, you know, like kind of like the ShamWow guy, or, you know, like mandolin slicers, or like Lifetime lint rollers, like all these cool household products that like worked and were like really cool. But like, I could have worked my way up to like management and had like a, you know, six figure salary and all that stuff and went there. But I was like, it's still not the same. And especially while I was in the, you know, commission aspect of it, I was like, if I have a string of bad weeks with sales, I just don't make money.
Which is like us actors, really.
Right? I was like, so two really unstable, like, you know, things that I'm trying to make happen at the same time doesn't really work. So maybe that, I suppose, but I wholeheartedly have to stick by, like, it's acting or nothing. I'm like, I'll either make it or I'll die, like whatever comes first.
So then number two, within that acting, what is a bucket list role or type of show that you want to do one day?
So while I'm in New York and like while it's still running, I feel like I have to make it onto SVU.
Yeah, you're not a real New York actor until you've been Law and Order. That's the rule.
That's what they say. And like, that's so hurtful because I'm like, I've been here for years, man. And I just can't get on this damn show. Yeah, I need to meet Mariska and I need to let her know that like I've watched every, you know, marathon where it's like, and they're reaching for these marathons. They're like, guess what season it is based on Mariska's haircut? You know, and it's like, okay, she's got the bob cut. That's probably season two. She's got the long hair. And it looks a little grainy or whatever. I was like, definitely season one, you know what I mean? And it's like, so SVU is like a big one for me for sure. And then dream, like role or project, I would love like something that's just like messy, complicated, like very difficult. Like I request like 6 months to prepare for, so I can get like my mind, body, and like spirit, like in total sync with this character beforehand. And so like a Breaking Bad kind of a role, or, you know, something that's, you know, some sort of Scorsese movie, or like Tarantino, or, you know, a Chris Nolan movie even, where it's like epic and just like, you know, I think like what he did with the Batman trilogy, like the Dark Knight trilogy, right, was insane. It's like they're like the only good DC movies, you know, like of recent history. I mean, he turned Batman into something that feels like it's plausible, you know, with insane actors like, you know, tied to, I mean, Christian Bale, come on, you know, and
Heath Ledger,
you know, you got Tom Hardy, you got Morgan Freeman, you know, the list goes on and on for like impeccable actors that are involved in that really turn this world into something quite incredible. So I think what he does with movies, Memento, Interstellar, Insomnia with Pacino, who's one of my favorite actors, and Robin Williams, another one of my favorite actors. It's like, you know, that guy, every movie he's made, I'm like, bravo, sir, bravo.
Well, you've brought up a couple of names, but that leads us to number three, which is who is it that you look up to as a mentor or maybe someone that inspires you in your own craft?
Yeah, I got a list. Chris Nolan is like a filmmaker for sure. And I mean, I'll narrow it down to some, the most specific, because I could go on for like 10 minutes. But Issa Rae as a show creator and actor. Insecure is like such a great show. And I'm just like, damn, girl, like you did it. It's so good. And Jim Carrey was my original inspiration. And so I, you know, you see a lot of that in my work, and I can quote you like every Jim Carrey movie, probably from start to finish. I would love not only to work with him, but to just meet him and have like a conversation, like especially where he's at right now, like with himself and the universe. I just finished his book, Memoirs and Misinformation, which is just like a wild book, which you can get for free on Audible for anybody who wants to check it out, but doesn't want to spend the money. Will Smith is someone who is like remained like a global blockbuster, like celebrity, and then like came onto Instagram and is like crushed it. And, you know, he hasn't made like a deep, deep like movie in a minute. It's been like a lot of like fun stuff, but I'm like waiting for the next like Pursuit of Happiness or 7 Pounds or something like that. Him, Al Pacino is like another one of my, like that dude in The Craft is like, I'm like mesmerized when I watch him perform. Like he's somebody who's like, all right, I know all the rules and then I'm just going to like dance around it and just like have some fun with it and like make crazy choices or whatever. And like, if you don't like it, too bad. But he's made like hit after, I mean, like his movies are like, everything he's done is a cult classic.
So number four, what is a lesson or a trait that took you a while to learn or maybe one that you're still working on today?
To allow myself to make the interesting choice, which really means like, you know, you have an idea of how you want to perform something, or there's something that would be really fun or really interesting, but we're always like, well, is it going to be too much for the camera, or am I going to be overacting, or is it going to be like some weird thing that like they're not going to like or whatever? Screw that all. You know, if they don't like it or whatever, they'll give you the note. Or whatever it is. And especially for auditions, that's when like the most fear kind of comes up. Like for me, I have the most fear in auditions. And then when I book the job, that's when I'm like, all right, here we go. Like I'm just, you know, gloves are off and I'm going to really allow myself to like go there. But for auditions, it's so hard because I'm like, all right, do the thing. You know, you want to do the thing. You know, that's going to be super fun. If they want to see it a different way or they want you to take it down a notch or whatever the case is, like, that's fine. But just go in there and have fun and do the thing. And I've caught myself like not doing it out of fear and leaving the room and being like, damn it. Like, why didn't I just do the thing? Like fear is so paralyzing. So yeah, making the interesting choice and not letting anything or anybody strip you of that freedom to just go for it.
Yeah. I've done that so many times on audition where, you know, you're in the room, the waiting room, right before you go in, you're going through it and you got that choice and, oh, okay, this is the line and you're going to hit that line. You're going to, you know, and you've got your beats measured out and then you get in there and then you're going through. And then all of a sudden, like for me, I have this certain way of standing, this certain way of my, like my default kind of goes into an autopilot and then I'm just doing the normal. And I'm like, wait, oh, I meant to. And then I'm like in my head thinking, oh, I missed that moment. Wait, get back. And you know, and then it's gone. I'm like, what am I doing? What has happened?
And especially now that we're kind of out of practice with there not being a ton of auditions happening and stuff, it's like, I am not looking forward to, like, I am and I'm not looking forward to auditioning again because it's like, all right, I gotta dust off these cobwebs and figure out how I'm gonna like get on there. But, you know, I'm assuming because a lot more of these are gonna be self-tapes than in person. I actually really like a self-tape because I can just keep doing it and not necessarily having as much fear because I'm like, you know what? I know I didn't do the thing. Let's just do one more take so I can just do it.
I will say that the act of that, of being able to take it as many times as you need to get that right, that right take is a great thing about self-tapes, but the whole process of taping, making sure you got the sound and the lighting and then make sure that you framed yourself perfectly. And then, you know, should the side be in the scene, out of the scene, where my angle, how far can I move? You know, you have to think about all these technical things when all you want to do, I just want to say these four lines. That's all I want to do. But instead I have to be director, cinematographer, sound, lighting, grip. I have to do, yeah. You know, it's like
a production. It's a gift and a curse for sure. You know, and to some degree, I do prefer an in-person because I do, I think, a really good job with the one-on-one, you know, just like that personal connection with another person. So kind of working the room in that way and getting that vibe, as long as they're not like totally kind of closed off, like that rude casting director that won't give you anything. You know, as long as they're not that person, I can be very like, here we go. And it's like, you know, can I take that one more time? You know, and I'm doing better with it. Like at this point in my career, I'm definitely getting better with being comfortable and owning the room and making those choices. But it's always a practice. And for anybody who knows acting or the craft, auditioning is its own sort of beast that exists outside of acting when you're actually on the stage or in front of the camera, in rehearsal or whatever it is. Very much a different thing.
So then number five, that gets us to best advice. What's the best advice that you've received or that's meant the most to you?
Best advice is a couple things. From Will Smith, just to repeat, that don't have a plan B because it distracts from plan A. I just have always loved that quote since I started going for this professionally. Also, you got to love the craft more than you hate the industry.
I've not heard that. Do you know who said that?
I don't know that somebody gave it to me, but it's something that I thought of recently. And so it could be something that I just took from somewhere and I don't remember who said it or whatever, or I could have just brilliantly come up with that. Let's just go with that for now.
The best advice I ever heard was Alex Pires.
There you go. best advice is from myself, actually. I tell myself this all the time. No, but it's something that I have been thinking about a lot of. This has been a very introspective time, and you're thinking about a lot of things, and a lot of epiphanies have come up. And I've had this conversation where, you know, I've been, you know, talking to people and saying that you gotta love the craft. And like the beauty of like making a character and coming up with a story and all this stuff, more than you hate the nepotism and the networking and the like me and all the ugliness that exists within the industry. Cause that's what's like not fun. And that's what people hate, is like the bad people to work with and the auditioning process and all that stuff. Like all that sucks. But it's like, once you get to a certain level, right, you get to kind of bypass a lot of that mishigas and just do more of the fun stuff. And it's kind of more like, you know, fielding offers, or if you've gone the route of creating your own stuff, you know, you get to a point where there isn't as much compromise, right? It's your thing. So that's really nice. And then I'd say the final thing is from my instructor that I was in like an advanced, you know, acting technique with for like 2 years. His name is Anthony Apeson. He's in the city, and I highly recommend him for any other actors. He's the cheapest option like that's out there, and also like the last guru of acting. I mean, this dude has worked personally with Stella Adler, Lee Strasberg, Harold Klerman, Jerzy Grotowski, Peter Brook, you know, just like these pillars in, you know, the community when the craft of acting was really being developed. And so he's like 73, 74 at this point. And he taught me so much about craft. Like, I feel like I knew nothing, you know, it's like BA before Anthony. And now after him, he really taught me that I have the universe inside me. And I'm more than whatever the industry wants to like label me as my type. You know, I can play anything and everything. And there's no such thing as this, like, you know, this is who you are, so that's what you play. And the industry is kind of, at least before this like COVID shutdown, is kind of in this realm where they're wanting you to kind of play self. You know, they're like, just be you, be you, be naturally you. Like, hi, it's you in the situation. It's like, I partly became an actor to not be me, you know,
right, to do anything else but right? myself.
I'm trying to step in the shoes and the wardrobe. And that's very much a thing for me is like when I get into the outfit, anytime I've gotten into some like really interesting costume piece or like whatever, it's like a magical cloak or something, like something really beautiful and like inexplicable kind of happens where you're able to get more into it. You know, I forget who it was that says it starts with the shoes. Might have been Stanislavski or something who said that. But yeah, that I have the universe inside me and that I'm able to play all these things. And while I was there, I played a lot of different characters and I took a lot of chances and did a lot of things that were scary that I wasn't sure if I could pull off in front of my colleagues who are also booking really cool things and are also very talented and have a keen eye and would able to be like, nah, not buying it. And I was able to, you know, accomplish a lot and impress myself with listening to that and being in that beautiful community. So, all that advice has really kind of made me who I am. And I really can't wait to continue to dive into more projects and collaborate with other doers that are out there. So if you're listening to this and you're a filmmaker or, you know, in the theater world or something like that, I want to work with you. I'm a doer as well. And like, let's put our minds together and like make this thing happen because we have beautiful stories that need to be told. Especially my brothers and sisters of color, my ethnically ambiguous and marginalized people that are out there, like you want to make this happen. Like I will make this happen with you. Like if we got a good story, we got legs, let's do it because who else is gonna, you know? So like, let's do it.